The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast Gaming episode. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And we want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, BuzzTime, great minds drink alike, and GameStop, power to the players. And we got a lot of stuff, a lot of ground to cover, but this first topic I think is just a fantastic idea. Chad, why don't you take the lead on this?
Okay, so something that's been kind of on the outskirts of gaming has been the subject of accessibility. And we love the idea that games are things that cross all populations, you know, whether you're old, you're young. I mean, the Wii has become kind of the gaming console of nursing homes and extended care facilities, etc. But one of the things we've kind of missed is this accessibility for those who have limited mobility.
Yeah.
And so Microsoft and with Xbox and so forth have been working on this new adaptive controller that's been in the workings for years. I mean, we're not talking like this is something that they just announced and said, oh, well, we're going to start working on this. They've been working on it for years, and they've been working on it with those who are kind of differently abled, who have trouble. And it is a completely customizable controller to fit your particular abilities so that you can play just about any game, you know, even some of the ones that require a little bit more dexterity.
Wow.
You know, like,
yeah,
you can't imagine playing God of War, for example, because you have to be able to control the entire field of battle, and then suddenly because you don't have,
right,
you know, the ability to push two buttons, one right after the other. Now you can figure out a way with this accessibility controller to do that.
Yeah, it's shaped like a rectangle, like a mm-hmm. white brick, essentially, except it's obviously lighter. And it's got just two big touch pads and a small D-pad. And then it's got ports on the back where you can connect any other kind of accessible controller, because they do make them for like certain mm-hmm. peripherals, certain games. If you find the video, I think we've got it at geekcavepodcast.com. If we don't, we will soon. But if you go there, you can see how this works, where if you can only, for example, control a game with your voice or by leaning forward on a special control stick, that plugs into this, which plugs into the Xbox, and you can play pretty much any console game, even yeah. if you have very limited mobility or no mobility at all.
It's one of the guys that they interview in the video. He doesn't have a left or a right side. He can only, so he can move his character, but in terms of doing any of the actions, he's just completely unable. You know, or he can only do the one action because his hand is, you know, he can do what I would call like macro movements. You
yeah.
know, he can move his arm, but he can't move his fingers.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And so in a world that's, you know, kind of increasingly exclusive, something like this that is radically inclusive to be able to say, hey, you want to play a game? We're going to figure out how to get that game, you know, into your life.
I love this idea.
It's beautiful. I expect that we'll see a lot more of it during E3. I mean, they kind of released this ahead, but to actually get a real hands-on, I think we'll see something like that. Maybe not at E3, but at the Microsoft
their
conference
showcase.
Center across yeah. the street.
Yeah, the Xbox Adaptive Controller, it is due out by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's a fantastic idea. Something that, you know, with the Wii and other efforts by Nintendo, we've kind of gotten close to, but we've never gotten to this stage before.
Yeah.
And even with the Move or whatever, because that still is contingent on you being able to do certain gestures.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is, it doesn't matter what your physical ability is. You can still participate. You can still play. That is a great idea by Microsoft.
It is. And I would love to see all video game companies, all console makers, make something like this.
Yes.
Because, you know, I personally, I'm not an Xbox fan. I don't want to play those games, but I would love to see something like this for Sony or Nintendo. That would just be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not just Xbox, it's also Windows gaming. So if you got a Windows machine, you can plug it into that. So anything you would download from GOG or Steam, theoretically, you'd be able to use this controller and its peripherals. It's nice to report really good news.
just when I think humanity can't suck anymore, something like this happens and it raises me back up. I'm like, okay, we're not completely shitballs.
Yeah, raising the bar.
So that was the news I had. I wanted to make sure that we talked about that. Good on you, Microsoft.
Good on you, Microsoft. Well done. Okay, so
do we have a positive award at the end of the year or just the steamer?
We have the Golden Justin.
We have the Golden Justin.
Let's put that on the list for Golden Justin.
Golden Justin.
I'm willing to nominate Microsoft's accessible controller for a Golden Justin.
The Xbox Adaptive Controller is officially in the running for a Golden Justin. Good job. Okay, so I've got a couple of things before I get to what everyone really wants to hear. So, so the Switch.
God of War.
So the Switch.
So I'm a fan.
The Nintendo Switch has been a runaway success. But the problem is, it doesn't have the horsepower to handle a lot of modern AAA games. I mean, you could scale them down, but companies, for whatever reason, are resistant to doing that. I don't know why, especially since it's built on a PC architecture with a PC graphics card. It shouldn't be that hard, guys. I digress. So Resident Evil 7 did well early last year when it came out. It was a first-person horror adventure game, completely different from other Resident Evil games, but still really high on the graphical end. Capcom has found a way to get it to work on the Switch without sacrificing any of the graphical visuals. How so? They're going to stream it to you.
What?
Yeah, instead of buying it on a cartridge or buying it as a download, Capcom, they're testing this in Japan now, are going to stream it from their servers to the console. You pay what is amounting to a rental.
Mm-hmm.
So you did it for like 120 days for a certain amount of money. And then it'll stream to the console from their servers with no latency, allegedly. So you can... This is interesting because I could see other companies taking this as a way to A, push more digital purchases, and B, get on the Switch and actually say they are technically on it. Because it is like the best-selling console right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are obviously a couple of caveats. Like I said, it'll be known as the cloud version, similar to services like PlayStation Now. It's hopefully actually working, unlike PlayStation Now. And 180 days, that's the limit. For $18, you get it for 180 days. So it's basically...
$1 for 10 days.
$1 for 10 days. And you get access to all...
Hell, can I just pay you $1 for 10 days? I bet I can beat it in that amount of time.
Maybe. And you get access to all of the games previously released DLC as well.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. We'll see if it works out. We don't know if there are any plans to release it in the U.S. at the time that we're taping this. But it is an interesting idea. I could see this becoming a more of a thing if you have like the LAN adapter for the Switch and you play it in docked console mode. I don't know about handheld mode. It depends on the strength of your Wi-Fi. And I've got really good Wi-Fi, and I don't think I would test it on this, or trust it on this anyway. Yeah.
$3 a month for 6 months. I mean, that's what it's basically amounting to. That's
not bad. Sony's new CEO, John Cadera, raised a lot of eyebrows.
Is this the,
He raised a lot of eyebrows when he's like, well, PlayStation 4 is in the final phase of its life cycle.
After 6 years?
It's been out since 2013.
Mm.
Now, don't expect it to stop production anytime soon.
No.
But he says it's kind of on its way out. PS5, we've heard, is 3 years out. So get ready. Start saving now.
Well, and that would be 8 years for... Well, okay, it'd be 4 years because of the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a stopgap. Really, that... They
should have waited on that one. But, so, yeah. More than 76 million PlayStation 4s have been sold since it was released. Last year, sales were down from 20 million to 19 million. Still selling quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
But they're pushing more on games. So, we'll see what happens. I imagine we won't see anything at this year's E3, but next year we might start getting a hint at the PS5. And then just a couple of briefs before we get to the pile of shame review. The Wolf Among Us Season 2 now has a release date, technically, 2019.
Well, I really liked that is a really broad release date.
I really liked the first one. It's based on the Fables thing from DC Comics, from Vertigo, their imprint. I really like it.
Nice.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention this. Yes, GameStop is a sponsor of the Deep Cave podcast, but GameStop has a little bit of trouble keeping CEOs because their new CEO has quit after just 3 months on the job.
He's going to be really bummed to find out that his pension plan is for in-store credit or $5 cash.
Yeah, it was back in February that Michael Mahler... Mahler is a great... Like, he should have been a wrestler. He's a longtime GameStop executive. He was named the new CEO. But 3 months later, he's... Oh, that's... Sorry, that's me. I've got like a freaking autoplay video on my notes here. That's great. Hey, by the way, Detroit Become Human is out. It's bad. Take that, Quantic Dream. But yeah,
chances are the audience couldn't even hear that.
But we could.
But we could.
And
so
it annoyed me enough.
Lean into it.
Yeah. But Michael Mahler has stepped down after 3 months as the CEO of GameStop for personal reasons, effective immediately. In his place, co-founder Daniel DiMatteo assumes the role of interim CEO, which is interesting because he previously did that when the last guy quit last year. So GameStop is going to be on its third CEO in 18 months by the time this is all straightened out. So GameStop, guys, we love you. Figure it out. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for the Year of Shame review.
Oh, wait. I actually do have something to share. I kind of forgot about it.
All right.
Kent...
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to... Darren's Pile of Shame.
That is the greatest surprise I have ever received.
You are welcome.
Oh my gosh.
And we showed up at his house one Thanksgiving.
Unannounced with a key.
Yeah, but you didn't bring that.
That's true. We should have brought Kent.
Kent, thank you for that.
Yes, as always, Kent does a fantastic job.
I don't know how the intro, I can possibly justify that intro. So, all right, so... So, as you know, I've been going back and either playing games that I bought but never actually played, or in some cases, revisiting games that I haven't played in a while. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary describes Stockholm Syndrome.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
As the psychological tendency of a hostage to bond with, identify with, or sympathize with his or her captor. We typically associate this phrase with someone who keeps going back to an abusive relationship. You know, I love him, he's changed, kind of thing. On that note, I went back to my biggest personal wife beater wearing he means well but is just misunderstood violent vomit filled dumpster fire of a video game. Mass Effect Andromeda. I reviewed this game way back in episode 79 last year. I even did it to the ABCs because I had a letter of the alphabet for everything that went wrong. But seeing as how I didn't even finish the game because at the time it was just so bad, I got a lot of feedback, guys. We do get some comments from folks who said I should have been more fair to it. Should have been more thorough. They were right. You know, DLC has come out. They've done patches. And so this month I decided to dive back in and start fresh. New character, new perspective, treat it like a brand new IP. I mean, like I said, all the patches are out and they did cancel the single player DLC. So I'm a little annoyed at that, but this is the most complete version of the game possible. It had to be better than when I last tried it. How in the world could you continue to fail? It was better until it wasn't. Last time I played as the new male lead, Scott Ryder. So this time I played Sarah. I was going to do everything differently. Either way, you spend the usual amount of time creating your character and then you're tasked with customizing your appearance of your sibling if you want. Doesn't matter because they're going to be in a space coma for a long ass time and chances are the game will break well before you even get to see them wake up. Story takes place separate from the Mass Effect trilogy. It's 634 years later. Humanity's looking for a new home in the Andromeda Galaxy, and unlike other Mass Effect games where your crew is a few humans, an Asari, a Turian, a Krogan, a Salarian, and a Quarian, this time, oh, they really shake it up. Where your crew is a few humans, an Asari, a Turian, a Krogan, a Salarian, and Angaran, which is a weird space cat slash seal thing that talks with a Jamaican accent and feels all emotions deeply. All right, whatever. So I started to get to know the crew this time. Really wanted to care. I started to like the characters and their quirks. Until my second in command started acting like a bitch randomly during conversations and everyone kept bouncing between we support Ryder to Ryder is the worst, sometimes in the same conversation. That's fun. It's like the game couldn't tell whether or not I'd done anything actually wrong because the Paragon and Renegade system's gone and now they have twice as many conversation options, which leads to only more confusion and accidental flirting, which happens a lot, by the way, the accidental flirting. Hey, you know, fine. I'm getting negative.
That was my nickname in high school. The accidental flirting.
I'm getting negative. The graphics were good. The locales I visited in my playthrough, which still not the full game, but I'll tell you why in a second, were creative, you know? I mean, okay, not exactly creative as much as like every single Mario game because you got a desert planet, a jungle planet, an ice planet.
Was there a pipe planet? Tell me there was a pipe planet.
I didn't get to it, but I'm going to assume that there was.
Well, you had to use the warp whistle.
And exploration is encouraged because it's a fully open world game. You know, go wherever you want. Do what you... Well, you can't because we've got a life support system set up. You can't go more than 15... feet away from your space SUV or you'll die. But it's fine. You'll get to develop the world and then you'll get to explore all the cool stuff that you want to later. And then, of course, there's the game's famous glitches, which they did fix some of, but there's still something wrong with Andromeda. I can't put my fingers on it, but there were times in conversation where Ryder's eyes just started darting around wildly like she was in the middle of a psychotropic trip. Lips would stretch randomly, characters would hold an entire conversation with me with their backs turned to me and looking over their shoulder as if they were doing an impersonation of a really cool anime guy hiding his true emotions. And did I mention how stupid the villains look? The Ket? Okay, they're gray guys with bone protrusions all over and big foreheads. They're like the comic version of Doomsday if he were a skinny nerd that got picked on all through high school and then became the world's worst soldier. Doomsday if he were an accountant.
That's Doomsday cosplaying as a Klingon.
Doomsday who eats kale for fun.
Oh,
Okay, so, but despite all of these failings, you know what? I was still having a decent time. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. Until the last 2 hours of my playthrough. That's when I had to unlock a series of monoliths on an ice planet. See, these monoliths help you stabilize the environment, and they say they're optional, but they're not, if you want to do any exploring. Each monolith has a glyph puzzle. You use your scanner, which forces you to walk slowly to find hidden glyphs around the monolith. You know what? It's sorry-ass space Sudoku. That's what it is, because you end up with this grid puzzle, and you have to find these glyphs and then put them in the grid, and they can't repeat in any line or... It's Sudoku. Whatever. I don't like regular Sudoku, which has numbers that I've seen in my life. Swap them for symbols like a letter F if it was vomiting, or some kind of squiggle that resembles a beer can, and it goes from stupid to Jar Jar stupid in record time. So, that's bad enough. But this one time, I had to traverse between an underground cave where the control panel was and a craggy mountainside to find three really well-hidden glyphs. Took me a long time to do it. But I did it. I found them. Solved the puzzle. 2 hours. 2 hours on this stinking puzzle. Couldn't I just look up the solution online? Yes, but you can't even put in the solution to the puzzle until you find those glyphs, bad boy. You can't just jump straight to that. No. No, no. We're having fun. So anyway, I got a very little reward as in nothing. I just got to know that I was done and I could move on with my life. So I saved my game. I thought. See, the saving logo, the little circle that pops up on the screen, it showed up and it never went away. Just stayed there.
Oops.
Forever. 5, 10, 15 minutes, still saving. Just went about my business because I'm like, ah, it's fine. It's saving, whatever. Kept going. After a half hour, I start getting concerned.
Took you a half hour?
Well, I was just like, you know what? Maybe it's slow and I am doing other stuff and I want to keep pressing on because it's almost bedtime and I just want to get this done. And then I stopped and I thought, shouldn't it have stopped by now? So I opened the menu to do a manual save and it wouldn't let me choose save because it was saving. Okay. Tried that a few times. Finally, I just decided I'll cut my losses. I'll go back to the main menu. You know, what's done is done. So I lost some progress, whatever. Yeah, it froze. Froze wouldn't even let me get to the main menu now. Okay, all right. I'll quit the game. I'll come back to the Xbox One dashboard, I thought, and I'll reopen the game. Yeah, you can't do that. You're going to have to hard reset your Xbox. We are keeping you hostage now.
Shit.
So fine, I did. I hard reset the Xbox. I try to launch the game. It gets to the title screen, and when you press start, it freezes. So I reset. I reset the Xbox. I even do the stupid tech support thing. We're like, you know, can you unplug it from the wall and wait 10 minutes? You know, that thing. I did. Start it back up. Get to the title screen. Freeze. So it turns out my 18 hours that I'd put in this time was completely corrupted, and I was going to have to start over. And apparently this is not an uncommon issue. I looked it up. This can only be fixed, and I am not shitting you. This can only be fixed if you reinstall and uninstall the game 3 consecutive times.
What?
Yeah. It has something to do with flashing the console's memory of that particular game. So you install it, uninstall. Install, uninstall. Install, uninstall. Then it'll work. You know what I did instead?
Uninstalled it? Washed your hands?
I uninstalled. I declared it dead to me. And I went to bed. Congratulations, EA, BioWare, and anybody involved. Not only is this game still broken, but now so am I. At least when it comes to Mass Effect, my favorite franchise of the modern gaming era, it didn't even die a heroic death with Mass Effect 3, but a pathetic shit-covered one, gasping desperately and uttering, "Save file not found," with its last pathetic breath. Don't be like me. Again. That's a pile of shame. I'm incredibly ashamed that I even did this. I don't know why you people talked me into doing that game again. Next month, something good.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I keep hearing it's good. Seeing as how I haven't played it.
Way to stay positive.
Don't be like me, ever. Mass Effect Andromeda, go to hell. That's all I've got.
All right, well, I think that's the end of the gaming segment. Darren needs to calm down a little bit.
See you in the movie segment.
Please download the comic segment if you haven't already, and the movie segment, which, you know, is technically next on the list. You okay, Darren?
I am a very model of a scientific solarian.
Okay, we're going to take a break and find Darren's sanity, and when we put most of it back together, we'll see you in the movie segment.